That is the godly number. No doubt, amen. It's a place of releasing. It's a place of jubilee. It's a place of going even more stronger for God. I take the story, for instance, found in the book of Joshua chapter 6. The Bible tells us that God had commissioned the army of God to march around a city that it was called Jericho. And he told them, for 6 days, you'll march around that city. And on the seventh day, you're going to march around it, not one time, but seven times. A lot of people fail to remember that. It wasn't just marching around one more time. Because seven times, because this is the seventh time. This is the number seven. So what it's leading me to believe, folks, what God is saying to you as a congregation, that those 6 days that you've been marching, you know, they've been good. But now it's time to step it up. God is saying, in other words, it's whatever's happened, whatever's been done, now the seventh year means now you gotta more than double it up. You gotta go seven times more. So I don't know what you've been up to. I don't know you personally. I know some of you, of course, talking to each other to you, but I believe what God is saying, you know what? Yesterday's gone. Yesterday is over with. Whatever you've been struggling with, whatever you've been marching through, God is saying now it's time to give Him your best. Come on. This, it is time now. And that leads me to the subject that I want to minister on today. So I'm setting you up for something that I feel, or not what I feel, what God has laid upon my heart. When Pastor Reuben asked me some months ago to come and minister here and we agreed on the date, I didn't just go into a bag of sermons and pull one out and say, well, I think this one will fit just good over here. Amen. I want to hear from God. Because if I don't hear from God, I'm wasting my time. And I'm wasting your time. And I've been pastoring now for 34 years. I've been serving God for 44 years. I have never backslid. I have never took a vacation from God. I was trained under a man of God that found our fellowship in 1976 with just a bunch of misfits such as me and us. And we turned around and today we have over 780 churches throughout the United States. That's who we are. But one thing was always installed into my life. Is that if I'm going to make it, I got to give God my best. Amen. And today, there's a spirit that's going around in the churches. And this spirit that I want to minister on today is the spirit of apathy. I want you to get this word, this apathy. You can look it up later, Google it, whatever. The spirit of apathy, the Webster's Dictionary gives us this definition. It's doing something without passion. It's doing things in your life with lack of emotion. No motivation. You know, just no lacking feeling for what you're doing. And I believe that this is today one of the greatest weapons that Satan has used against the church. And that is the spirit of apathy. It's a spirit that's a cancer when it enters into a church, Pastor Reuben. Let me tell you, the bottom line is this. When you begin to see the signs of this spirit upon a person, they no longer are thrusting forward. But they begin to draw back. Oh, I'm so tired, Pastor. Ah, that ministry. You know what? I think I'm going to take a vacation from God. I'm going to step back. Ah, I'm not going to be so committed to church no more. Ah, you know, I don't, you know, prayer meeting. Well, I pray at home. They're not praying. You know, I tell you that. That's a lie. You know, but you know, you need to understand those, what I have learned in my discipling of men, because that's what I've been called to do, disciple men and women of God, to take them and to train them. What I have noted, when I start seeing the danger signs upon an individual, a man or a woman, they start drawing back. They start missing in action. They're no longer involved like they used to. They're no longer excited about church. They start coming late. No longer, you know, does anything really be that important to their lives other than their self. Go with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 4, this morning. I want you to pay real close attention to what I'm going to bring this morning, friends. And so the story here in verse, you should easily find Genesis, the first book of the Bible, since you can't get lost. You know, chapter 4, Genesis chapter 4. The Bible declares to us in verse 1, now Adam knew his wife Eve. She conceived, she gave birth to a son by the name of Cain. She said unto the Lord, I have inquired a man from the Lord. Then she gave birth one more time, this time to his brother. His name was Abel. Now Abel was in charge of keeping the sheep. Cain was the tilter or working on the farm, on the ground. And in the progress of time, Cain came and he brought an offering to the Lord from the fruit of the ground. And Abel, verse 4, then he brought an offering, but he brought the firstborn of the flock and of its fat, of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain for his offering. Then Cain, the Bible says, then Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your countenance falling? In the Spanish Bible it says, ¿Por qué traes una cara de chancla? In other words, so it says, why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? Cain, if you do well, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do well, sin lies at the door and its desire is to have you, but you shall rule over it. Now Cain then talked to his brother Abel. He said, brother, why don't we take a walk in the field? Cain then rose up with his brother Abel and he killed his brother. And he said, and then the Lord came and said to Cain, Cain, where is your brother? And then Cain answered and said, whatever, I do not know. Am I supposed to be my brother's keeper? Am I supposed to care about my brothers in church? Then the Lord said in verse 10, what have you done? For the voice of your brother's blood calls, it cries out to me from the ground. For now you will be cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. Cain, when you go back to work, when you tilt the ground, it will no longer yield fruit or strength to you. For from this day on, you have become a fugitive. You have become a vagabond. A vagabond you have become on this earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, this morning, Father, for the next few minutes here, God, we look upon a story that, God, we look at this day, a story that we are to, Lord, look as an example of what can happen to us if, God, if we don't give you the best. So I pray, God, that the Spirit of the Lord will just have His mighty way this morning as we honor you and give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And the church of God saith, amen. Now you need to understand, church, why it's so dangerous to become lukewarm in a church. You know, even Jesus, there's a story found in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, where the Bible teaches us in verse 14 about a church the church that was called the Laodicea church. The Laodicea church was a church that God became very, very angry with. The Bible teaches us in chapter 3, verse 14, he said, you know, for you are neither hot nor cold, but you are lukewarm. Listen to that. You're neither hot on fire. You're neither cold. You're lukewarm. Sometimes. And then the Bible teaches us, if you look at that story later on in Revelation chapter 3 verse 14, then the Lord said unto the church, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Man, let me tell you how dangerous it is to become lukewarm. Listen, church, be who you are. If you're going to serve God, serve Him with all of your heart. If you're going to be playing games with God, then just stay out. Be cold. Be dead. You need to understand, church, what God despises, what despises God is someone that comes to church and they're lukewarm. Oh, hallelujah. Don't hate the messenger here now. Lukewarm person, their work becomes, you know, just common, no longer thriving forward. You become content. You know, in other words, I know it all. You know, you don't need to tell me nothing. You ever get those guys that try to tell you, hey, you know, pastor, you know, I've been in the pinta for 50 years. You know, I studied the Bible and this and that, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, and man, and you know, you should, you know, wait a minute, man. You know, who died and made you the pastor? You know, so you need to understand that they become that area content or people of excuses, man. Those are the ones that hurt me most, man. Those excuses. Hello, pastor, I'm sick again. My God, how many times have you had the COVID? 5, 6 times already? Man, my brother, what's wrong with you? You know, the people have, what has happened today in many churches, I pray it's not here. I was blessed to see how many people were here an hour before service. That's beautiful, guys. Don't ever give that up. That is beautiful, man. That is powerful. You know, I preach in churches sometimes, man. They start the service and people are running in. You know what I mean? You know, so you need to understand that what God is looking forward, if you're about to see a great breakthrough in this congregation, you got to start giving God your best. Because if you don't, I'm going to show you in the Word of God, right from the beginning, when God took two brothers, and one gave them the best, the other one gave them whatever, and what it amounted to, friends. So this is all biblical stuff. This ain't something I just come to throw at you. I'm going to back it up with Scripture. As a matter of fact, whatever I preach on, it's got to be backed up by preacher, by the Word of God, or it's me making up the Word. And so you need to understand, church, that this spirit of apathy is spelled A-P-A-T-H-Y, apathy. You know, it is a word that is used when you do things with this type of spirit. But today, we read upon sticking to our chapter here, chapter 4 of Genesis, the Bible teaches us in verse 3, about these two brothers. The Bible says here in verse 3, it says that Cain came along and he brought an offering to the Lord. That's fine. I mean, hey, he came and, you know, he dropped something in the box. You know, I mean, hey, that looks good. Oh man, well, it looks like they're giving. Praise the Lord. You know, he dropped something in the box. Bible says here that he came and one translation says, he gave some of the fruit of the ground. In other words, folks, when he came and he brought it, that word suggests means, that word some means he grabbed whatever. He just, you know, whatever, he tipped God. In other words, folks, you know, oh yeah, see, there was one was a farmer, one was raising and planting fruit and corn and wheat and whatever. What he did, he just grabbed whatever, you know, and you know, here you go, God, whatever. You know, that's what verse four teaches us. Verse five, the Bible, continuing on in verse four, then Abel, then he brought, listen what he did. Now he was in charge of the cattle, of the sheep, of the livestock, whatever they were bringing up. The Bible teaches us in verse four that Abel brought an offering, but he brought of the firstborn of the flock and of its fat, of their fat. In other words, folks, what he did, he gave his best. The firstborn means pure. The firstborn means cleansed. Not some, you know, he could have, you know, if he did what Cain did, he would have been, okay, well, I gotta give God an offering. I gotta give him something from the flock. He could have been maybe, if he was like Cain with his spirit, he could have been maybe looking for a dead-eye sheep. Or a broken leg sheep, you know, and then give that and let's roast it. See, God knows what we give to Him. God knows exactly what we present to Him from our heart. And the Bible says that He gave His best. He looked for a pure sacrifice. And so what he did, he gave God his best. Then the Bible teaches us that he did not respect, verse 5, he did not respect Cain's offering. And because of this, Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. I don't know about you pastors, but you realize when somebody's going through it, they come in, you know, angry and mad. You can tell something went wrong last night. Something happened. They come in, you know, all jacked up, you know. They, you know, he turned around and he got angry. He got angry because he saw his brother. His blessings were going to come upon him, but on him, nothing was happening. He became jealous. He became angry. It's just like brothers in church. One starts rising up and the other one is not giving his best. And he realizes this dude is passing me up. Pastor's using him more than me now. I used to be the shot caller at the church at one time. And now, man, I'm just a runner. I'm no longer being used like I used to. Come on now. And what happened, it can happen to you ladies too, amen. You know, you ladies, you need to understand too, you know, that sister, you know, she's been, I know what she's been doing, you know, that's why she's, you know, she's hanging around with pastor all the time, sister all the time, you know, that's why she's getting her brownie buns, you know, and, you know, whatever, you know. I've been pastoring too long not to notice things, folks. You're not talking to some novice here. I've been at it for a while. I can smell what is happening, man, you know. I can tell who's being blessed, you know, and who's not, you know. So we need to realize, folks, that Abel, folks, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, the book of heroes in the Bible says, and by faith, Abel offered unto God a better sacrifice than Cain did. That's the Hebrews 11, verse 4. It says that he gave a better sacrifice. And so David, King David, oh, man, you want to know about a man that gave his best. David said these words in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24. David wrote these words, I will not sacrifice unto the Lord my God an offering that will not cost me nothing. Man. That's a powerful scripture, folks. I mean, when you read that, 2 Samuel 24, verse 24, I will not sacrifice to the Lord, my God, an offering that costs me nothing, folks. Man, when you get that in your spirit, man, that you know what? Wow. You know, he didn't look at it. He looked at it as costing him something. You know, today, the church is serving God in many ways with the spirit of apathy. Some never come to the place no more how one worships God. You could see they're intensely worshiping God. The other one, why don't they get this thing over with, man, so we can, you know, get out of here a little bit sooner. You know? That's a spirit of apathy, folks. You know, they don't no longer sing to God like they used to. They no longer worship God like they used to. They no longer give to God in their tithing. Man, it's just like tipping God. Well, God, if I can afford it this week, fine. If not, you know what? I'm not going to put myself in a situation that, you know what, is going to make me live with hardship. There's people that pray. Let me tell you about praying, man. That's where you're going to know your leaders. That's where you're going to know those, amen, that are rising up. Some don't pray at all. Some never pray. The only time they pray is when they maybe come to church, but there's no prayer in their home. Then they wonder why their kids are all deceived by the world. They wonder why, you know, nothing's really happening spiritually wise in their home. No prayer, folks. No prayer in the morning. You know, chances are, they say that 60 to 70% of Christians don't pray before they leave home. Man, let me tell you something. That's a dangerous thing. You that got children, you that got a wife or a husband, man, you need to pray for them. God, I pray today, lay your hands on them. Protect Johnny. Protect Susie. Protect my wife. Lord, protect me as I'm on my way to work. God, guard my mind, God. Lord, guard my mind. And when you get back home, oh, thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, God. I thank you, God. I pray, God, when we go to sleep, amen, that little Johnny doesn't have those nightmares like he does. That little Susie doesn't scream at night saying the cuckoo's back here. You know, you're praying with them, you know, and you understand, church. You need to understand, some of you that are dealing with that at home, amen. Maybe you ought to check your prayer life. God is looking for your best. Repenting from sin. Man, to acknowledge what I do is not right before God. Repentance, folks. We hear the word repentance is right away. Oh, that's a dirty word. No, it's not a dirty word. Repentance means turning away from what you're doing. You want revival or you want to be always living in survival? Man, you gotta turn around. It's either, you know, revival or survival. You're barely hanging out. How you doing today? Oh, I made it. I barely made it. You know, man, it should be like, yeah, man. Oh, God moved, man. God is touching my life. God, God's great things for me and my family. Repentance, folks. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong, amen. People always have accused me as being someone that confronts. They say, you got a way of operating, man, where you want repentance. I said, that's right, because without repentance, there's no revival. Amen. See, the spirit of apathy, in getting back to our story. The Bible teaches us, folks, that when God rejects what you're doing, you're going to feel it. And you're going to know it. You know, have you ever asked God, God, how come I'm not having my breakthroughs? Why am I not flourishing in my walk with you? Why is it that, God, I'm not happy? Why is it, God, that I'm always angry? Why is it, God, that I'm always jealous and bitter with people? Why is it, God? See, this is what happened to Cain. It all started, listen, church, it all started without him, first of all, without him giving God his best. That's how it started. It wasn't like he was whistling at the farmer's daughter down the street. There wasn't none, but, you know, but just an example. Where it started was because he didn't give God his best. I tell, when I send out pastors, and I am a church planner. That's my calling. I plant churches. You know, I tell them, are you willing to give your best? Are you willing to sacrifice? Oh, I know you like your old bomb, your old motorcycle. I know you like this with your, but are you willing? Are you willing to sacrifice that for God? So we need to realize, friends, for us as disciples in this church, this is not your final voyage here. Some of you, God is waiting for you to rise up to start a home Bible study. You know, that's our discipleship. I got 15 Bible studies every Friday. You know, anywhere from 10 to 20 to 30 people each in every Bible study. Those are men and women that rose up together. And they have their groups meetings. And those guys, if they take in more in giving God their best in discipleship, in follow-up, in outreach, you know, man, God says, you have the quality to become a pastor. That's how we train them. We don't just give them a book and say, here, read this book, how to be a pastor. You got to live it, folks.
Amen.
God looks at your heart. Don't ever think that even like God had to rebuke a prophet of God one time. Well, you know the story. The story found in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16, when Samuel the prophet is there to ordain the new king of Israel, and he has all the fine looking brothers all dressed up in their armor, and you know, armor all here, and you know, all ready, and here comes a little ruggy little boy, you know, he got a little slingshot in his hand, and you know, he's there, you know, that little, who's that dude, you know, I don't know, man, he stinks like sheep though, but you know, and old Samuel says, oh God, I got it, here's the guy. You know, one of the soldiers, God said, hey, boy, come here, tells the prophet. Man looks on the outward, but I look at the heart. I look at the heart. I look at the heart of man. I know what you think. I know what you're saying. I know how you react. I know your bitterness. I know your jealousy. I know your anger. I know your unforgiveness. Well, just because you walk around with a Bible in your hand, oh, he's got it all together. And he told the prophet, man look at the outward appearance, but I, the Lord, look at the heart. So whatever you do, friends, don't ever do it to impress man.
Yes.
Do it to satisfy God.
Yes.
Oh, they may not know what you're doing at night. You know, maybe some, you know, maybe you're feeling, nobody ever notices me. That's a lie. God knows.
Amen.
Don't ever think that, man, you know. I was like that. You know, I had no education. You know, I dropped out in the ninth grade. You know, I remember being legal when I got 16. Now I can really, you know, be confirmed as a dropout, you know, and not worry about the law, you know. But I got saved. I got saved, man. And I started giving God my best. I had a pastor that said, listen, man, you may not have the education. You may not have the Bible school. You may not have the classing, the teaching. But if you got a heart for God, oh, if you got a heart for God, you can do beyond what man is doing. And man, I remember sending your pastor, Mike Ortiz, Mike and Valerie, 1994. I started in 1991. Sent out my first church 3 years later. Send them over here to this place called Colonia, some place over here at a park, at a center like this, I believe. Yeah. You know, send you out, Mike. Let's go reach that Ventura area, you know? And he was my best. Then I had this other little skinny little guy named Tony Diaz. Remember Tony Diaz? I said, listen, bro, I got this city called Montebello for you, man. Go to Montebello. Bam! You know? And I started to realize, you know, that as long as I gave God my best, I could prosper. I could prosper. Yeah, I would like a church of 500 members, but my calling is to disciple, send out. Somebody came and told me, you only got 200 and some members in your church. Is that right? But let's add up the other 18 that meet every Sunday. Now we got thousands. You know? You need to understand, church. I can't reach people over. I got a church over here. Where's that church I got over here? Santa Paula. There's a place called Santa Paula. I got a church there. You know, I got a pastor there, Mark. Mark. I used to have another guy named Robert. Robert Romero. Yeah. Now I got him in a city called La Puente. You know, I shifted him around, and you know, I mean, these are all the shiftings. You know, but they're still, you know, going on. The pastor that originally had the church in Hacienda Heights, I planted him, 2 months ago to a city called Azusa. So he's pastoring there. He took over the Hacienda and we go on. But you know, you're hearing from God, you know, okay, these are the movements. There are churches that will never launch out one church. Yeah. They'll never launch out one church. Verse 5. Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. He was angry, folks. All of a sudden, he realized the favor of God was no longer in his life. You know, Cain shouldn't have been angry with his brother or whoever else. He should have been angry with himself. See, sometimes, folks, the reason you're in the situation that you're in is because of your decision.
Come on.
You make the decision. You chose to do that choice. And because of that choice, now you have anger and bitterness and jealousy towards others. Because of your decision. Cain should have dealt with his spirit first. With himself to regain, because God has got such a mercy, such a grace of God in our life, that if any of us would turn around and repent before God, God will turn around your whole life. You know, that's what won me over to Christ. When I accepted the Lord, you know what won me to the Lord? My pastor said, listen, son, listen, Raymond. If you accept the Lord, the Bible declares all things pass away and all things become new. That the moment I will receive Jesus, that whatever I have done in the past, whatever I have done to my family, my wife, my, you know, whatever, all that would be erased and I would become a new creation. And man, what a deal. What a deal. I mean, to recognize that if I give God my best to Him, He'll change my life. I mean, I think about what God did for us. You're saved. If you're born again this morning, you're saved because why? Because God gave us His best. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. Jesus, his son, his best. He didn't send some angel. He didn't send somebody, you know, just out of, well, I'll say, hey, Gabriel, get in line, you're going. You know. He sent his best. He sent us his son, Jesus. And then he would see his son die for us, put upon a cross, beaten, shredded up, man, like hamburger meat hanging on a cross, naked. beaten to death. Why? For you and me. That was God's best. And Cain, his problem started because of the spirit of apathy. Just giving God, friends, whatever. Man, I would consider the fact what you choose to give unto God spiritually, folks, what you give to God. Because it creates an anger. Anger, man, anger is deadly. The Bible teaches us that in Proverbs 27, verse 4, anger is cruel. It is a cruel spirit, folks. It's, man, angry. When you're angry, man, things don't sit right. You know, you could be angry with somebody. I mean, I remember me when I would get angry, food didn't taste the same. You know, I just didn't feel good. I don't know about you men, if you get angry with your wife, I don't know how you can eat, man. I don't know if you know, whatever. I can't. I just, man, it just, everything tastes nasty. But what anger does, it'll make you attack others, attack loved ones. Some of you take it out on your loved one. You take it out on your kids. You take it out on your wife. You take it out on your husband. You take it out on loved ones. You attack. In our story, what a story, man. I mean, this man, Cain, he deceives his brother. The Bible teaches us in verse 8, it says that he tells his brother, come here, Carnal. I want to talk to you. Here's a guy, you know, Cain telling his brother Abel, you know, you got to remember, they were kids together. They played hide and seek. They might have played rock marbles as kids. Yeah, you know, they were, man, they grew up together. And now he tells them in verse 8, why don't we take a walk? You know, brother, come here, man, I love you, but I want to talk to you. You know, it's like a brother about to slaughter his brother. You know, hey, Carnal, how you doing? I love you, bro. You know that. Yeah, I was watching this movie years ago. That was way before your guys' time, I guess. American Me. I don't know. Oh, movie. Where one Carnal, man, takes his other brother. He goes, hey, pull over, man. You know, just, you know. And then he strangled him, you know. I don't know. Yeah, that's a worldly movie. Don't look at that. But anyway, you know, I think about those things, man. How it exists today. You know, where it doesn't take long to hate your own brother, fleshly brother. Thank God we don't have that here, where sisters hate sisters or brothers hate brothers or haven't talked to them in years. The spirit. He takes him, verse 8. And what this spirit does, folks, the spirit of apathy, it makes you attack. Oh, you may not physically hurt somebody, but verbally you're destroying them. You're always talking about them, slandering them, putting them down, even making lies up sometimes about them. Sending out a cruel gossip. You know. Verse 8. Cain talked with his brother. And it came to pass that Cain would rise up and kill or murder his brother, folks. See what it leads to? Because somebody else is prospering and somebody else is being blessed and you're not having that in your life because you're not giving God your best and this person is giving God his best. And it becomes a hatred towards somebody. It becomes a hatred. And he murders him, folks. And then it gets worse. Then it gets worse. If you keep reading the story, in verse 9, it says that God would come to Cain, and he said, Where's your brother? Am I supposed to care about my brother? Am I supposed to be my brother's keeper? He tells God. Then he begins to lie. For I don't know where he's at. Now he's lying to God. Thank God we don't have nobody here that lies to God. Because when once you lose the fear of God, the fear of God is saying, I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care the way, you know, whatever's happening in my life is nobody else's business. I don't care. You know? It's a lie before God. And so, he begins to lie to God, folks. When you begin to lie to God, God answers right back and says, listen, man, because you're a liar. You started off by not giving me your best. Now you become a man of hate. You become a man of anger. You become a man of murder. He goes, note it. From this day on, you will become a fugitive and a vagabond. You know what a vagabond is? A vagabond man is a hobo. Homeless. Nothing. There's a hotel in my area, well, right next to it, in Whittier, called the Vagabond. You know, the Vagabond Hotel. It's a chain of hotels, you know. That means you're homeless. You needed a place to stay. You know, the Vagabond. You can look it up in the dictionary. That's a true word. God said, hey, you become a vagabond. You become a fugitive. You'll always be on the run. You'll always be looking and looking, never to find peace in your life. I don't care how many churches you go to, you're never going to feel satisfied. You're never going to feel happy. Every church is going to let you down. Why? You're a vagabond. You're a fugitive. You're running from God. You don't like the truth. You don't like God's truth. When it confronts you, man, it's time to repent. Yes. He tells him. God had asked him in verse 10, what have you done? What have you done? And maybe God is asking us this morning, what are we doing? Isn't it time? God is so merciful and so full of grace, man, that he always finds a way to get the truth brought out to your life. Then you choose. It's like Joshua said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. But as for me and my familia, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't know about you, what you want to do, but I know I'm going to go to church and give God my best. I'm going to go to church and I don't care about my teenagers sleeping in bed. They're going to get up and go to church with me. I'm not going to leave them there at home. So Joshua said, Joshua 24, he said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. But remember this, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know? Thank God we don't leave our kids at home. Thank God we don't leave them because they're not feeling good. No, you're going to get healed at church. You know? I got some dude from South Central LA going to preach over there today, you know. It's so funny when I was coming up, I was remembering when I I was talking to your pastor at a men's meeting, and I said, where you at, man? He goes, Piru, Piru. Shoot, all I know, Piru, I was born in Compton, folks. I said, Piru Crips, man. I'm going to be preaching over at the projects, you know. And I said, man. I had to check my handkerchief, you know. I mean, you know, if I was gonna wear, you know, red or what, you know. Amen. God told him. He said, as a result of your decision, pal. He said in verse 12, when you go and work on your farm, when you go and work at your work, your regular job, guess what? Nothing good's going to come out of it. He told him, verse 12, when you tilt the ground, no longer will it yield crops to you. But you have become a fugitive, a vagabond upon this earth. So we need to realize, church, he was marked. He was marked. Let me tell you about what I've learned about people being marked. There are people that, man, are marked. Nothing good comes out of their life. I don't care what they start doing in church. It just dies. You think, oh, this is the guy. Man, the ministry dies. Others come along and, whoa, wow. What's the difference? The heart.
Amen.
The heart. People always tell me, man, Pastor, you're so hard on people, man. They come to church, they get saved, you know, and they want to get up on the worship team. Oh, it's 3 years minimum before they get up on the worship team. You know, 5 years before they become a Bible study leader. I'm not going to put some novice up there that just got saved and started knowing how to blow his nose and now he's going to start teaching. No, no, I don't believe in that. I can tell the difference in my disciples and others. Some of my disciples will run circles over pastors. I'm serious. I'm serious. You know, matter of fact, you know one of them. He, man, he boy can preach. Jesse, that's Mike's, Valerie's brother. You know, he's been with me about 15 years. He's a Bible study leader. He's got 30, 35 adults in his Bible, some bigger than churches. You know, I mean, yeah, I'm serious. You know, so you know, you need to realize the heart. But what happened, this man got marked. And when the spirit of apathy hits somebody, it opens the door. It opens the door to poverty. Nothing good comes out of that person, man. They're just a loser. Ladies, you're single. Watch out who you're dating. Man, you know, watch out who you're dating. You know, understand. That's why people are miserable, because they turn around and they get fooled. And man, they just, you know. I'm big on marriage. I love to preach on marriages. That's why it's one of the things, you know, that. But this man, God told him, you'll live a restless life now. Wandering from here to there to there. Roaming around aimlessly. No true direction. That's why we're praying for you this 7-year anniversary, that from this day on, man, that you get your heart, amen, totally good with God, before God. And man, start knowing, man, that God no longer wants you to walk the mile. He wants you to walk 7 miles. He wants you to walk more. Your prayer life. Maybe your prayer life ain't that good. Well, praise the Lord. God, you know what? I want to pray more. Challenge yourself. Lord, I want to read more. I want to study more. God, you know, I want to come to church, man, and get everything I can, man, and leave the place knowing I didn't waste myself to hear that man preach for 45 minutes and leave empty. You know, but to leave in your car and say, So what did I learn today? God wants my best. That's what God wants. If I'm to flourish, God wants the best for me and my home, your family. Man, folks, when you start giving your best to your spouse, man, it changes everything. Instead of wanting to volunteer for more overtime, you want to come home, man, and, you know, and make some covenant. You know what I mean? You know, and you know, I'm just saying. You understand, church. But the cure to apathy, and we all been there. I mean, come on now. Somebody, I was getting pats in my back one day. You know, listen, Pastor Ray, you know, in a couple of years, you're going to be 70 years old. I'll be 70 years old in a couple of years. You know, it's now it's time to maybe, I rebuke that, man. I rebuke that. I can still outrun half of the church. You know, I can still, you know, I may be 70, going to be, you know, I'm 67 right now. I'm going to be 68, you know, and still be able to function, you know. You know, how can it be? Well, that's 44 years of good living. 44 years ago, you know, that I stuck a cigarette in my mouth. 44 years ago that I drank a 50 ounce, you know, or no, what is it? A 40 ounce. Yeah, he knows. Amen. A 40 ounce, you know. I mean, you know. So just saying, they don't make 50 ounces now. That's been a long time ago. We had 40 ounces, yeah. Coke 45, whatever. Yeah. The cure, the remedy, the healing, folks, is when you and I can stand before God and literally let Him know, God, you know, Jesus, even God said in verse 7, look at verse 7, if you do well, listen, if you do well, that's repenting. Verse 7. If you do well, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do well, sin is waiting at the door. Come on in. Come on in, hard-headed. Come on in. You know, understand, church. God said, verse 7, look at it. If you do well, you will be accepted. Your life will instantly change. But if you don't, sin is awaiting for you at the door, saying, come on back. We've been waiting for you. So, church, the good news is today, this ain't a rebuke service. This is a service to let you know. Those 6 years are gone now. This church is now going into its 7th year. 7-year anniversary. Just like God said, Joshua, you've been marching for six days. Now, on the 7th day, you're going to march around it 7 times. And then you're going to shout. And the walls are going to come down.
Amen.
One of the most exciting things I've got out of Israel. I've been to Israel from time to time. I used to travel a lot before. I don't know if you know that. I used to travel all over. Africa, Europe, you know, anyway. But my most famous and pleasurous place was Israel. And I went to Jericho. And there's a place there in Jericho where the wall once stood, where you can actually go down some steps, and on the sides of the wall is the Jericho Wall. True story. If any of you got a Thompson Chain reference Bible, look in the back and look under Jericho Wall, you could see that wall. And I remember touching it, saying, man. And the guide, the tourist guide that was leading us said, when the walls went down, it was like, it didn't exactly fall this way. God, it was as if God put His hands on it and they came down. That's what I'm praying for this morning. That's what I'm praying for this morning. That your wall that's been standing before you is going to fall down and collapse. And get you going into the promise of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Turn on the propeller. Amen. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads to the reverence, for reverence of God. Let's bow our heads. Come on. Hallelujah. Folks, it's been a blessing this morning, but now we want to pray. Here on your 7-year anniversary. This morning, I have spoken about many different areas that we must confront. And the one area that you must confront in your life every day is the area of repentance. The Bible teaches us that we all fall short. I will be foolish to stand before you and say, oh, I don't sin. I don't think like that. Oh, I'll be a liar before you, friends. But I do know this. Every day I wake up with this one prayer before God. God, cleanse me of any unrighteousness.